Hallelujah. I need some children to preach with me this morning. If the adults cannot preach with me, the children will preach. Psalm 75 verse 6. Are you there? The Bible says in the book of Psalm 75 verse 6, it says, "For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge." Another version says, For promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. Verse 7, it says, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. I pray that you will not be the one that is put down in Jesus' name. You will be the one that will be exalted in the name of Jesus. It says he puts one down and exalts or sets another up for promotion. Like I said, this month is a month of divine promotion. And you like just to recap on the things I said last week, you know, the kind of promotion you want is not the one from man. You see, when man promotes you, he can demote you. When human beings promote you, you can be demoted. But when God promotes you, nobody, and I use the word nobody, can put you down. When God is the one that has raised you up, nobody can say it is time to come down unless God says, "Hey, my friend, I want you to be humbled a bit," but he will not say that in Jesus' name because you will not mess up. Hallelujah. And as I started last week, I explained that, you know, that promotion is what God wants for us. God wants us to move from one level to the other. You see, God's plan for each person, each of his children, is that every stage of your life, that you are always increasing, you are moving to a higher level, that you are being lifted up. God does not expect us to go down. He wants us to increase all the time in the good things. And his plan for us a lot of times is that, yes, he wants to promote us to a new level, either in the ministry or a new level in our spiritual walk with him, or a new level in our business, in class, in education, or whatever it is. And you find out that, you see, a lot of us want this promotion, but sometimes we don't understand what is required. A lot of us want this promotion, but we don't understand that in order to be promoted, you need to go through some tests. And the key thing is that if you don't go through tests, you will not be promoted. I explained last week, I said that if you are a student or if you studied any course at all, or if you've studied before, you know, some people haven't studied in a while. But if you study, if you remember your school days in those days, you know, that you used to read, before you can move to the next class, you would have to sit down and do some tests. And if you don't pass the test, they don't move you to the next class. I explained that where I come from years ago when I was in secondary school, we had some people that were in the same class and they were in that class for 3-4 years. Why? They did not move because they did not pass. And it is the same thing in the spiritual. If you do not pass the test God sets for you, he will not move you to the next level. And a lot of people want to be promoted, but they don't understand that God usually sets a test for them. You see, the test God sets for you is a setup for your promotion. In fact, the test is a step to your promotion. Oh my goodness, you don't understand what I'm saying. When God gives you a test, it is because he thinks, hey, maybe this gentleman is ready to move to the next level. I think this person has been on this level for some time. You circled around this mountain for too long. I think it is now time to go to the top of the mountain. But you see, a lot of people want to be promoted without the test. Am I speaking to somebody? And I explained last time that, you see, just like we have the physical test, we have the spiritual test. The interesting thing about the test from God is that he will not tell you when the test is coming. It happens in the daily occurrence. I'm not going to repeat myself because I'll just get the tape because we still have a lot to cover. But I'm just trying to set the background. You know, he will not tell you the date and time of the test. Also, I explained that when God tests you, it is usually to reveal your heart to you. You see, some people mistake the test from God with the temptation of the devil. The devil will tempt you because he wants to destroy. He wants to kill. He wants to steal from you. He wants to put you down. But when God tests you, it is not to do all, any of those. It is to reveal what's in your heart. It is to make you understand that, hey, you need to deal with certain things. It's to make you understand that it's time to move up. Amen? So usually when God tests, it is with the intention to build, not to destroy. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, verse 2, it says that, you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to do what? To humble you and test you to know what was in your heart. So when God sets a test, it is to know what is in your heart. It is not to bring you down. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? And you see, I started by making you understand that in order to be promoted, there are certain kinds of tests you should expect to go through in your Christian walk. It may not happen at the same time, but you can be certain that at one point or the other in your life, it will happen. If you are a serious Christian, if you are serious in your walk with God, expect that at one point or the other, you will go through one of these tests. And I started last week by saying the first test is the faith test. That God, the faith you have in God will be tested. The word, the promise, the prophecies that God gives you will be tested. Just like Abraham, his faith was tested. At the age of 75, God appeared to him and said he will give him a child. He did not have the child until he was 100 years old, rather. Now, for 25 years, his faith was tested. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? And I explained that your response during that period will determine how long it takes before your promotion comes. God will not promote you before you pass the faith test. The second type of test I explained last week is the love test. And I explained that God, your love for God will be tested. How much do you really love him? The love is not in words, it's in actions. When you say you love somebody, the words, you know, word is cheap. But your actions speak louder than your words. And God will test your love for him at one point or the other. He tested Abraham's love for him when he said, I want you to bring your son, your only son, and sacrifice him. That was a test of Abraham's love for God. Am I speaking to somebody? You know, in the book of Mark 12, verses 30 to 31, the Bible states that you shall love the Lord your God with all your strength. I mean, prior to that, one of the scribes asked him that, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. He said, this is the first commandment. And then he said that, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He said, that is the second commandment. He then went on to say that there is no other commandment greater than those two. And then prior to that, in John 14, 15, the Bible says that if you say you love me, you will obey my commandments. Am I speaking to somebody? So the love test is that bit that, hey, do you really love God with all your heart? Are you ready to sacrifice what is precious to you for God? What you love the most, are you ready to sacrifice? You know, some people are not ready to sacrifice their sleep for God. Some people are not. Let me use and please, if you didn't come last week, this is not a test for you, but it is a test from God. It was raining cats and dogs last week, and the church was half full. Why? Because some people decided that it's not convenient to go to church. Now, God will test your love, that is it one of convenience or one of commitment? Is it based on understanding of covenant or the understanding of my convenience, how convenient it is for me? Am I speaking to somebody here? And it will request some things that will be painful to you to give. But it is a test. Somebody say it's a test. Now, this morning I'll just start the third kind of test, which... So the first one is the faith test. The second one is the love test. And the third one that I just want to start talking about this morning is the character test. Get this. Your character will be tested. You know, it's unfortunate that in this time and age, in this world that we live in, there's so much emphasis on image and reputation, but not character. It's so much that what I present is what I want people to see. So, you know, image is everything. Reputation, people want a reputation to be known for something. But listen to me, that is not what God is after. God is after your character. get this, you may be talented, but if you don't have character, you will be a liability to God, not an asset. A talented person or a skilled person, no matter how good you are at what you're doing, if your character is not developed, and I use develop because you need to develop on your, you need to work on your character. If you don't work on your character, get this, even if you promote yourself or a man promotes you, at some point, you will come down. Because the character is not there. You see, 1 Timothy, turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. Let me show you a couple of things. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, they think about the talent. So sometimes people think, ah, I used to be a leader in this church. I can preach. I can, brilliant. I can sing. I can direct traffic. I can whatever you do. You know, and they want to come in and take over and be at the top. But get this, if you're, you see, one of the things I found out is that true character is brought out over time. When you don't have character, you will not stay. Let's look at 1 Timothy. Am I speaking to somebody here? 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let me read verse 1. Now, in my Bible, if you have those sort of Bibles that usually has subheadings, you know, my Bible, and if you do have one, you'll notice that it says qualifications of overseers. So that tells you the qualifications, the things, the criteria by which bishops or overseers should be chosen. Now, let's have a quick look at this. We won't spend too much time, or we won't go through everything. In verse 1, it says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. So he's saying if he desires to be at the top, if he desires to be an overseer, it is a good thing. So it is a good thing to want to be promoted. It's a good thing to want to direct affairs. It's a good thing to want to be an overseer. There's nothing wrong with it. And it is what God wants. But get this, notice what Paul then says. He says that a bishop then must be blameless. You know, it's interesting because if you are one that follows the news and the politics and you know, the kind of leadership that we have in society these days, they do different things and they say, my public life is different from my private life. So as long as I'm performing at my job, it does not matter if I'm sleeping with every dog around. As long as I'm performing at my job, it doesn't matter if I'm taking drugs. And, you know, one of the things that is happening is it's creeping into the church. In fact, it is in the church. The world has entered into the church. Because the thinking of a lot of Christians is beginning to get warped and changed, whereby we don't lay emphasis on character anymore. So we look more at talents. And we look at the people that are talented and, hey, are they good at this? It does not matter what their character is. And that's not how God wants it. Look at this. It says a bishop then must be blameless. What does blameless mean? We all have sin. But it means that to be above blame so that they will be able to blame you for something. Am I making sense? It goes on to say that the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable. If you notice all those relate to character. The only thing that relates to skill or talent is the next one, able to teach. And then after that, it then goes on, not giving to money, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. And it goes on and on like that. If you read that those verses carefully, you will notice that they all have to do with character. The only one that I noticed there that has to do with talent or skill is able to teach. So you have about 5 or 6 talking about the character, and then the next one, just one talking about ability. But a lot of people, they put ability before the character. Get this, you need to develop your character while you're developing your ability. In fact, sorry, you need to develop your character before you develop your ability. Am I speaking to somebody? You know, it's interesting. Sometimes you meet some people that just have no character. Let me not even go there. That will take me all day. Verse 8. Let me jump to verse 8. It talks about the qualifications. It first talks about the qualifications of overseers. So that's the first one. And then verse 8 starts with qualifications of the deacons. It then says, likewise, deacons must be what? Reverent. Not double-tongued. So that is, at one end they are talking about you, then the other end they are smiling at you. You know, backbiting and frontbiting and gossiping and all those sort of things. It says, not giving too much wine. I know some people will say, well, a little wine is good for the belly. I don't know whether I should say this here. No, I won't. I won't. You know, a little wine is good for the belly. Maybe I should say it. I'll say it. You won't know who it is. They know themselves, but they don't know I know. You know, the interesting thing, we went for a marriage weekend away some time ago. You know, we have a weekend away and things. So, it was all prepaid. So I think after we had finished and I went to reception to make sure the bill, you know, everything was settled. So they said, oh, everything is settled and things that, so that the only people that settled what they bought. I said, oh, no problem, that's fine. And then the receptionist just kept on talking, said, oh, that they bought some wine and things. I said, these people, husband and wife, they drank some serious wine overnight. I said, marriage enrichment weekend, we didn't say. Oh my goodness. I said, now, they won't know pastor knows. But now they know. You know. Let me move on. Hallelujah. Where am I now? Not giving too much wine. It says, not greedy for money. Holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. Notice that the deacons, it talks about character. But notice verse 10, it says, but let this also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons being found. So it says, be tested in those areas before you put them in a position of leadership. Isn't that what it says? It says, and let this also first be proved, tested. So the character will be tested before you are promoted to the next level. That's what that is saying. It's saying don't make them deacons until their character is tested, until they are proven and tested. And you see, that is one of the key tests God will give us. You know, the interesting thing is that character encompasses many things. Character, your character is who you really are. Your character defines your person. Now, the interesting thing is that what we see and know of most people is not their real character. If I were to ask the wives or husbands of some people here, you know, randomly. Now, I don't know. But let's assume their spouse will be the best person to tell us what their character really is. Or their children. I've heard of deacons beating their wives in church, at home. Even pastors, not just deacons. And then in church, holy. We may not know, but God knows. And it's part of the tests. The people closest to you in the house will tell us what your real character is, not what you present. Not what you present. And you see, for a lot of people, they don't understand. Because we think that, oh, as long as I present a front, people will think this is who I am, and I'll be promoted or moved on or go to this next level because of that. But God will not promote you if the character, that's what it says. If it's not tested. Let me show you something. You know, Elisha was the servant of Elijah. Yes? Gehazi was Elisha's servant. Now, Elisha received a double anointing of Elijah's, received a double portion of Elijah's anointing. Why didn't Gehazi receive anything when Elisha died? Why didn't he? Now, this is me. Notice that in the scripture that we read, in one of those verses, it says that not greedy for money, both for the deacon and also for the bishop. Did you notice that? It says not greedy for money. If I tell you not permit me, if you turn to Titus, don't bother to turn there. The Titus, make a note of it. Titus 1:7-9. That also talks about character. But it says not greedy for money. So that being greedy for money is one of the tests. Now, turn with me to 2 Kings. Let me show you something there, quickly. 2 Kings chapter 5. Second Kings chapter 5, let me read verse 20. Are you there? Okay. Second Kings 5:20, it says something there. It says, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, while not receiving from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? Verse 22. He says, and he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, indeed, just now, two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments. Liar, liar. Verse 23, so Naaman said, please take two talents, and he urged him, let's jump to verse 25. Because, and he says, now he went and stood before his master, so he collected the money. In verse 25, now he went and stood before his master, so he did it in secret, he thought he did it in secret behind his master. Notice this. Elisha said to him, where did you go, Gehazi? And he said, your servant did not go anywhere. Verse 26, then he said to him, did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from... Notice that. Gehazi was greedy for money. Now, he lied twice within those short verses. Lied to Naaman, lied to his master. Now, not just that, went to collect money under false pretense. Now, interestingly enough, you know, sometimes I wish God could open my eyes sometimes. He does at times, but that he could open my eyes all the time. But get this. Gehazi's greed for money, this is my what I believe, probably disqualified him from promotion. Instead of receiving Elisha's anointing, his greed for money gave him Naaman's leprosy. No character. None whatsoever. Oh my goodness, I can't resist this. Years ago, not long after we started the church, there was a certain gentleman in the church, and he was a worker. And then, you know, I used to call the workers leaders, you know. Now, he shared with us that he had a fiancé or something that was coming from Nigeria, a fiancé in London or thereabouts, if I remember correctly. Anyway, so there was this weekend, and the fiancé came down to church, and he introduced us to the fiancé on a Sunday morning. So we met, oh, how are you, blah, 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 you know, spend the weekend. So in the process, we said, oh, where did you stay? Or maybe I think I asked him. Afterwards, as a worker, I'm very particular, you need to live right. So I asked him that where did your fiancé stay for the weekend? And then he said, oh, he stayed with one of our other workers or ministers, in fact. So I said, oh, really? So me being the person I am. Now, I don't do this with all the members of the congregation. If you are a worker, you are accountable to me. So me being the person that I am and knowing that, hey, these people, they need to live right for their own sake. I called the minister and said, oh, I heard that this person stayed with you for the... She said, no, this person, no. Ah, but they just told me. But in short, this gentleman lied to his pastor. Now, for me, that was like, what? And then I think during the week, maybe I saw him or maybe he called me or something. And I said, but you said this thing. He said, no, they stayed with me. And he was still. I wish I can say it in my language. They call it Ogoju. I don't know how to translate that. You know, when you are caught red-handed and you are still saying no. You know some thieves, they catch them stealing and breaking into a house. And they know it's not their house. And they are saying, no, it is my uncle's house. I left my key at home. And they know, and they caught them red-handed, taking the loot away. Anyway, let me move on. That was what Gehazi was trying to do. And get this, your character will be tested. There will be times that you do certain things that in reality, if, you know, either mistakes or without really thinking, that maybe you get caught or some... Let me use myself as an example. Some years ago, I used to do a certain business, a CD duplication and production business. So somebody gave me a job. It was my pastor. I think it was my pastor. But he gave me a job to do, to do his CDs and things. So I was meant to have done it and get it ready by a certain time. And we had an event on Saturday. I think I was meant to have it ready for Sunday. So at the event, I saw him on Saturday at the event. So he just asked me, oh, is he ready? I said, yes, without thinking. And then, as I said yes, I just thought, oh, my goodness, I hadn't done it then. Now, get this. We were at the same table. I could not sit with him. That's the truth. I went out, and I was, for about 5-10 minutes, and I then came back and said, Pastor, I haven't done that thing. I'm sorry. I just didn't think before saying. Now, get this. What I'm trying to say here is that there are times that either without thinking or just impulse or whatever the case may be, sometimes we just give a response. But character says that you go back. Even though it will not be to your advantage. Am I making sense? Even though it will not be to your advantage, you go back and say, hey, I messed up here. Your character will be tested. And the interest, what I find is that the higher you go, the more your character is tested. The more God expects from you. There are certain things I used to get away with years ago that I cannot try now. Your character will be tested. Am I speaking to somebody here? Test number 4. Faithfulness test. First one is what? Second one? Number 3? Number 4, faithfulness. Faith is different from faithfulness. And you'll discover when I finish now. You see, your faithfulness will be tested. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Now, I should ask you, are you ready for promotion again? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Are you there? It says something there. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. It says it is a requirement that one be found faithful. Get this, who is a steward? A steward is somebody that has been entrusted with something, with a property or something or the other, something of value. God takes us as stewards when he gives things into our hands. Even your children, get this, your children do not belong to you. They belong to God. They are just stewards for God. And what he expects is to bring them up in his way and give them back to him better, well-developed, nourished and cherished, more than, and they should have increased more than when he gave them to you. Anything you have, anything that has been given to you is not yours. But a lot of people don't understand that concept. That's why they find it difficult to release what is in their hands. But that's not my message. I'm not preaching about giving. But listen to me. It says it is required. What does it mean by required? It is a must. It's a mandatory thing that for stewards, they must be faithful. Now, God will test your faithfulness. He will test how faithful you are with the things that he has entrusted into your hands. God will test it. You know, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says something. Paul told Timothy, he said, and the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, he said, commit this to whom? Faithful men who will be able to teach others. The qualification for committing something into the hands of other people is based on the faithfulness. He said, faithful men who will be able to teach others. So your faithfulness will be tested. You see, how faithful you are with the things you have will determine whether you'll be giving more. It always amazes me because sometimes people want more responsibilities. Sometimes people want, you know, they want to handle more things. Sometimes people want more money. They want more positions. But the question is, what are you doing with what you currently have? Let's look at Luke chapter 19. Your faithfulness will be tested. Your faithfulness regarding the things God has entrusted into your hands will be tested before he gives more to you. Luke 19, let's look at it quickly, verse 11. It's a parable you probably know, you've read, you've heard about. Luke 19, verse 11. Are you there? It says, now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas and said to them, do business till I come. So trade with it till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Verse 15. So it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, master, your miner has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were what? Faithful in a very little. Have authority over 10 cities. Because he was faithful in one, they gave him 10. Notice what he said. He said, well done, faithful servant, good servant, because you have been faithful. Notice that. So the giving of that one was a test. Now let's continue. In verse 18, and the second came, saying, master, your miner has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, master, here's your miner, which I have kept, put away in a handkerchief. Get this. They all started on the same level. Some were faithful with what they were given. Some just held on to it and were not faithful. Some kept it in their pocket and hid it. Listen to me. The only people that were commended were the ones that were faithful. But not just commended. What happened? More was released into their hands. You see, let me use an example. Let's assume that your son, or your daughter, or your child, you happen to give them some money. Let's say £100. Let's assume that they decide, you give them £100, and you say, you know what? I want you this £100. I want you to do whatever you want with it. But what I expect you to do, start thinking of business ideas. Yeah? So I want you to think of business ideas. I want you to try to start a little business, either buying sweets, selling sweets, or whatever the case may be. And that in 3 months' time, I'm going to ask you how you're doing. Now, let's say you give £100, you give the other £100. Now, you come back after 3 months, and one of them says, well, mommy or daddy, the £100 you gave me, here it is. I haven't done anything with it. And then another one comes and says, the £100 you gave me, here it is. But I have now made £1,000. In fact, I need £1,000 so that we can increase the business. Who will you give money to? Who will you give money? Now, the same way, you see, you may not realize, sometimes we despise the little we have. A lot of people despise what God has given them. A lot of people despise the gift they have. A lot of people despise the blessing that God has given them. And you see, if you are not faithful with the little, the Bible says that we should not despise the days of our small beginnings. If you don't do anything with the little God has given you, there's no way it will increase. Am I speaking to somebody here? If you don't do the little by encouraging, maybe God has given you a gift of encouragement or being able to preach to others. And if you are just sitting on it and you're saying, oh, I don't know many Bible scriptures or something, there is no way he will give more to you. Your faithfulness will be tested before you are promoted. One of the things that will be tested is your faithfulness with money. Your faithfulness with properties, your faithfulness with the things, everything God has entrusted into your hands. Am I speaking to somebody? You see, let me explain. The faithfulness test is not based on how much you have, but what you are doing with what you have. It's not based on what you have, but it is based on what you are doing with what you have. You know, I was listening to a certain message by a certain gentleman called Pastor Creflo Dollar. I'm sure you've heard of him. Now, he was talking about, he said some years ago, a while back, when I think they had just started the church, I'm not sure. But he said he started a Bible study. And when he started the Bible study, that just 8 people used to come to the Bible study. Now, you need to see his church now to understand. He said just 8 people used to come to the Bible study. And he said for months, just 8 people. For months, just 8 people used to come. Now, out of these 8 people, 4 of them, they used to pick up from the old people's home. Now, he wasn't even sure they understood what he was saying or heard. Because, you know, and he said he got to one stage that there was actually a day that when he was preaching, one of them stood up and left. And he thought, eight, one is leaving. But listen to me, he said he stayed with what God told him to do. And God had shown him where they were going. So he was faithful, even though he was seeing 8, he was seeing more than 8. Am I speaking to somebody? And he showed up. You know, he showed up. A lot of people will get discouraged and pack it up. A lot of people will give up. A lot of people will stop showing up. But when God entrusts it into your hands, if God tells you something, whether it's looking that way or not, you remain, you show up every day. Am I making sense? Your faithfulness. Let me move on quickly, because I need to round up very soon. I may not finish this today. Next one. Attitude test. Now, you see, all these things I'm sharing are things that for you to be promoted, at one point or the other, you'll find out that you will go through those tests. God will bring those things your way. You know, there's a popular saying that your attitude determines your altitude. It's not in the Bible, but it's true. Your attitude determines how high you will go. How do you act when things are not going your way? How do you act when you are going through a wilderness experience? How do you respond to correction? How do you respond to criticism? Your attitude will be tested. You know, I've discovered that criticism comes with promotion. The higher you go, the more you are criticized. But if you don't have the right attitude, you will kill the people that are criticizing you. Am I making sense? If you don't have the right attitude, you will criticize them as well. And if you start doing that, you've missed it. Your attitude during the time of criticism will determine if you are ready to be promoted or not. You know, one of the ways that God will test your attitude is during what is called the wilderness experience. What's a wilderness experience? You know, when things are dry, or wilderness journey, when things are dry, you know, like the Israelites, when they went through the wilderness, everything was dry. Now, anytime we complain when things are dry, it displeases God. Numbers 11, verse 1, the Bible says something. You don't have to turn there because of time. The Bible says something. It says that God was not pleased when the people complained. It says, and when the people complained, it displeased God. And it says the Lord heard it and his anger was kindled. He was aroused. You know, anytime we complain about certain things, either about what we are going through or our situation or the challenge we are facing, and it's a complaint, God is displeased. Because it shows that we don't have the right attitude. I don't know if I'm making sense. In the book of Numbers 16, from verses 1 to 3, the Bible talks about a gentleman called Korah. It says Korah and some people, some of them, what did they do? They challenged Moses' authority. And they said, Moses, are you the only one that can hear from God? They felt that they should be in certain leadership positions. Their attitude was not right. Their attitude was not right. And you see, there are times that God will place you under a hard taskmaster. Either at your place of work, God will give you a boss that if you had a gun, you shoot them. God will give you a boss that picks on you. God will give you a boss that for no reason is always trying to ensure that you get into trouble. But you know what God is doing? He is testing what your attitude will be like. He is developing your character. He is setting you up for promotion. But you see, a lot of people during that period, what they do is they complain. They complain about their boss. They complain about the job. They complain about the people they work with. They complain about the organization. They complain about everything. But we don't understand that, hey, it is a test of our attitude. Am I making sense? You see, get this. There's something called the silent years. When God hides you. You know, the Bible talks about John the Baptist. It says John the Baptist was in the wilderness until the time of his manifestation. So he was hidden. He was called, but hidden. The Bible talks about Moses. Moses, for 40 years, was in the wilderness. He had a calling upon his life, but he was hidden. But you see, sometimes when people are hidden, either in the crowd or in an organization, because they don't have the right attitude, they know they are called, but their attitude is not right. So they start complaining or thinking, I can do better than this. Hey, I don't know if I'm talking to somebody. Have you ever worked under a boss that you are more qualified than they are? I used to. Whereby my boss, I had more qualifications. The job my boss was doing, I could do better than that. But you know, God will put you under a boss like that sometimes to develop your attitude. See what really your attitude will be like. And you know what? When your attitude is right, when you are being persecuted, when you get to the top, you will know what it's like, so you will not persecute others under you. People that persecute those that serve under them, they either did not pass the attitude test or they don't have an understanding of certain things. Attitude test. Let me move on. You see, there will be times when you are doing a lot, putting in a lot of work, but you are not recognized or acknowledged. There will be periods in your life when you are not being appreciated for the work you are doing. In fact, there will be times when somebody else will be taking the glory for what you have done. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but it is your attitude that has been tested. What's your attitude like? You know, when you run a business, when you do a business, and you have employees, the kind of employees that you promote, and we've been there before, so I know what I'm talking about. The kind of employees you promote, the kind of employees that you give bonus to and things like that, or you want to remain, are those that when you tell them to do something, they do it without murmuring. That it's a joy. But the ones that... And do you know what? A lot of Christians are like that. A lot of us are like that. Let me try to finish this today, because if I don't, just give me another 5-10 minutes and I should be through. The next test, number 6, is the, are you being blessed? Okay. No, I just want to know whether to close or to continue. That's what I asked. Okay, next test is the obedience test. You know, for God to promote you, you need to be in obedience and submission to Him. And the more you obey God, the more He promotes you and entrusts things into your hands. Now, it may not be material things, but secrets, spiritual things. The more you obey Him, the more He entrusts, the more you obey and submit to Him. You know, obedience opens the door to a lot of God's blessings and favor. And the Bible talks about it in Deuteronomy chapter 8, 28, verse 1. We don't even need to turn there. But it's a scripture we all know. One of the things that disqualified Saul, King Saul, from the throne is disobedience. Let's look at it quickly. In the book of 1 Samuel 15, are you there? 1 Samuel 15, let me read from verse 18 because of time. From verse 18, it says, "Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed." Verse 19, "Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you stoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed, because of time, let's jump to verse 22. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than what? Sacrifice. And to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. I pray that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Get this. Notice this. God gave him instructions. He says God sent him on a mission. And what did he do? He did not fully obey God. And just because of that act of disobedience, the throne was taken from him. Yeah. Especially for people that are workers or helpers or that assist in church. Let me tell you something. It says something. It says to obey is better than sacrifice. No matter the sacrifice that you are giving in the house of God, if you are not in obedience, then it all amounts to nothing. That's what I say. No matter how much offering or tithe you pay, if you are not in obedience to his word, to his instructions, all those things amount to nothing. It says to obey is better than sacrifice. So God is saying that, look, I'd rather have your obedience than sacrifice. And sometimes a lot of people miss it. You know, when we talk about obedience to God, to God's word. Yes? That's one. So to the written word. Then there's the obedience to God's voice. So there's the logo or logos, which is the word written. And there's the rhema word, which is the voice. And then also obedience to his prophets or those that he has set in authority over you. If you notice, God did not come down to speak to Saul. Who did he send? He sent Samuel. So as I'm preaching now, some of the things I've been saying, obedience to some of those things I've been saying is one of the things that God requires. Obedience, when I share on Sundays and I say, hey, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And we talk about tithes and we talk about everything we talk about on Sundays. When you hear it, you get an understanding. And what God expects is what? Obedience. So it's not in the sacrifice. It's not in the coming to church. It's not in the I'm now a Christian. Now, listen to me, and I really don't know. God knows. God knows. And I use the word God knows. When you disobey, I don't know whether you'll get to heaven or not. That's why I said God knows. Because if you've given your life to Christ, because it's by grace. But what I know is that when you don't obey, you will not get or fulfill your purpose or destiny in life. That I know. When you don't obey, you will not receive everything God has planned for your life. Now, it doesn't mean you won't get to heaven. Like I said, I don't know about that. It is God that knows. You know, because if you've given your life, it's not based on our works. So salvation is based on his grace. But once you don't obey, you can be certain that the throne that has been reserved for you, like the throne of Saul that had to be passed on to somebody else. Disobedience is costly. It is costly. You know, the Bible says that because Saul rejected, or because he rejected the word of the Lord, what happened? He also was rejected from being king. You know what? Obedience is an indication of your submission to the will of God. When you obey God contrary to what you want to do, contrary to your natural inclination, when you obey, it shows that you are submitted. And God will be able to say that, okay, if this person is submitted, if I move him to the next level, I know that he will submit. He will not decide to become a rebel. Am I speaking to somebody? You know what? When you don't obey, do you know what that person is? A rebel. In fact, the Bible still talks about it. It says rebellion. Let me try to round up. When you obey God contrary to what your will wants to do, what happens? You become a candidate for promotion in life. The last thing, the last test that is what I call the words test. What do I mean by that? The words that you speak will be tested. Your words will be tested. Do they give life or do they bring death into a situation? The words that you speak will be tested, whether they build up or they destroy. You know, the Bible says something in the book of Job. It says, you shall declare a thing and it shall be established. A lot of times when we use that, we use it in the positive. But we don't realize that sometimes when you are talking negatively, it is happening as well. Because it doesn't say the positive words you speak. Or it doesn't say that the positive declarations. It says you shall declare a thing and it shall be established for you. So if you are declaring the negative, so you see, the words you speak when things are not working for you will be tested. The words coming out of your mouth, they will be tested. Praise God. Let's rise up and pray.